Good evening. Welcome to worship tonight for the first Advent service, and the simple suppers were excellent. Thank you. I love those. Keep bringing those desserts. I almost missed out on the one, but Diane saved me. Thanks for Pastor Micah from Melvin worshiping with us today and providing, or tonight, and providing the message for us. So thank you for helping us out. We greatly appreciate that. So we'll now have the lighting of the candles.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Just a quick sound check. Is this good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Every mic is different, but it's good to be here. My name is Pastor Micah Clemmy. Just down the road from here, I saw 6 deer and 1 possum on the way here. But it's good to be here. I made it here. I drove 40 after seeing all the animals tonight. So there's a lot of activity in even at night. Moving beyond that, we're here gathered together, and we have life from God, and we're anticipating His return during this time of Lent. And I tried to find in the call to worship a proper verse that reflects that, and the final one actually does. It's from John 4, verses 23 and 24. It's a perfect way to get our hearts prepared for this kind of worship service. So for the next 3 weeks, the theme is going to be one of expectation. And since our Bible studies at Melvin are in the Gospel of John, we're going to be just, for the next 3 weeks, go through John chapter 10, 11, and 12, a text from that, and have a theme of expectation to link it to Advent. So it'll be good to go through that with you these weeks. So this is the call to worship from John chapter 4, reading in our Lord's name. An hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. We'll now have a devotion, Joy to the World.
So I have a devotion, probably just, it's from Lauren Gaines, and I don't know if you've heard of that, so when I tell the story, it's not going to be me saying it, since I didn't write the devotion, but she talks about her wedding day, so a little bit, so I did not marry her. So it's titled Joy to the World. Music is so powerful, it can change our moods and impact our emotions in an instant. Whenever I hear Mariah Carey's famous version of Joy to the World, a smile comes to my face. I am instantly brought back to my beautiful December wedding. As we were leaving our reception, friends and family gathered around with lit Christmas candles. They sent us off by singing Joy to the World and Wonders of His Love, and Wonders of His Love is one of my favorite lines. It's a phrase you've probably sung over and over again, but what does Wonders of His Love really mean? Let's look at some of our favorite Christmas carols this Advent season and find out more about His love toward us. In Psalm 17:7, David writes, "Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes." According to the English Oxford Living Dictionary, wonder means a feeling of amazement and admiration, caused by something beautiful, remarkable, or unfamiliar. When David thought of God's love toward him, he was filled with amazement. Let's take a moment to consider our view of the Father. Do you see him as loving, kind, someone who can save us? God isn't up in a cloud waiting to strike at our first wrong move. Even when we are faithless and undeserving, he remains faithful and steadfast. He sent his one and only Son to bring life and freedom to us, not to condemn us. When our hearts really understand this, we are left with wonder. How could he love me when I feel so unlovable, when I've made so many mistakes? Thankfully, God doesn't love the way humans love. He doesn't keep a record of our wrongs. He doesn't hold grudges. His heart is flooding love toward you right now. He desires to spend time with you and to know you. Sit in this wonderful news for a second. Let his love overflow in your heart this Christmas season. God sent Jesus for you and me. From Psalm 17, verse 7, wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. 1 Timothy 2, verse 6, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. From John 3, 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We might as well rise and sing Joy to the World.
Our sermon text today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. You can follow along in your bulletins. Reading in our Lord's name. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls them his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these words are your words. Your word is truth. Sanctify us in your truth. May the words from my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable unto your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. You are coming again, and you are our good shepherd. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Advent is a time of expectation, anticipation. Advent means arrival, and Christians expect the arrival of our Lord on the last day. Believers in the Old Testament expected the arrival of Christ's birth. And today we are also waiting to celebrate Christ's birth at Christmas. For the next 3 weeks, you're going to hear a theme of expectation in the Gospel of John as we go through these chapters. When our Lord returns, know that he is judge and king. But we also can't forget that he remains the good shepherd at that time too. Throughout this whole chapter, Jesus identifies himself as both the shepherd, the good shepherd, and the door. But we, who we are, remains the same. We're sheep. We are the sheep. Defenseless sheep who know the voice of their shepherd. Our expectations are shaped by the voice of the shepherd. If you know the voice of the good shepherd, no other voice is worthy to be followed. And there are many voices out there, voices that change our expectations. Think of a voice as an influence, a commanding voice. Go here, do this, believe this. We're being influenced every single day. Messages from what you see on your phones, to what you hear on the news, to what the latest trends are. All these are voices. All of them try to influence you for better or for worse. They shape our expectations. I guess you could say you are what you hear. I want to be successful. I want to be happy. I want to have the good life, right? These are common expectations that we can all relate to at some point in our life. We've thought of things like that. And so as we live life, there are voices that answer those thoughts we have and say, "I know a way that can make you happy. I know what the good life is. I can make you successful." When these claims are a lot of times just to use you for their own benefit, like a targeted ad, right? We see ads that are aimed at our desires by what we've been looking at on our phones. They don't really care about your needs. They just want you to buy the product. But we're not up against a mindless algorithm, right? We're up against voices that are trying to distract us from our shepherd. And this is what the believers in Jeremiah's time were up against. So Jeremiah has some parallel texts that deal with bad shepherds. There's the good shepherd, and then there's passages in the Old Testament that deal with bad shepherds. The bad shepherds in Israel, like the spiritual leaders of that time, were leading the people astray. They didn't care about the needs of the people. They didn't care about bringing them back to God. They just wanted their own desires to be furthered. So this is what God says against these shepherds in Jeremiah 23. He says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them." So this is what is happening, right? The voices that the people of Israel are hearing in the Lord's name are not actually what the Lord wants for his people. They're distracting voices, causing them to be scattered, not being one flock, as Jesus' goal was in today's text. So false voices back then and now cause you to lose sight of the Savior. That's the important part. It's illustrated by Jesus saying, "The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy." The voices out there may sound enticing, but Proverbs sums it up nicely. "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." So all these voices we're hearing, who knows, maybe they might improve your life. They might make you successful in some sense of the term, but will it lead to eternal life? That's a more important question to ask. So if you spend your whole life chasing dreams of worldly success, it doesn't matter much if Christ isn't present in your life. It means death will come and all that you have built up in life will be gone. Even the memory of your existence, among others, will fade away. Right? So all the voices that tell us to focus on those things aren't good voices in the end. They don't last very long. So what are the things we as Christians expect out of life? Why do we expect them? Who told us these things? We need to be aware of what kind of voices are in our head. We have to be organized, right, in whatever we are thinking. We ask ourselves, do we really need money to be successful? Do we need to be remembered by others? Or is there something greater for us? And of course, we know the answer to that as Christians. There is. In this text, again, you're the sheep. It's good to be a sheep. To be a sheep means to be defenseless. Thankfully, our Lord Jesus tends to our deepest needs. And because we know we're defenseless, we know we need Christ our Lord. We have all gone astray like wandering sheep, but Christ gathered you back to himself through the forgiveness of sins. And he leads you to eternal life, inheritance in heaven. So ask yourself, how much is worldly success compared to that? What is it worth being known and noticed by this world, especially since you are known now and forever by the Good Shepherd? He knows you by name. You're not a number like a lot of farm animals, right? You're more than just a tag and a number. You have a name, and God knows your name. You can hear Paul's voice as a sheep. Admits he's weak many times. At a certain point, Paul talks about a thorn in his flesh, a mysterious thing. We're not sure what Paul is talking about. It could have been a bodily ailment affecting him, but he's thankful to God for it because it keeps him honest about who he is. He's weak. He needs God. And that's why God says this to him. God says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And so this is our response to the voices in the world that we hear. And you can say along with Paul, "I don't need to rely on other influences to thrive because Christ has already given me everything. He alone is worthy of listening to and following when it comes to true life." And that's who we are. We follow our shepherd. And that's verse 5 of today's text. "A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This should be our automatic response. We flee from all these influences that lead us away from Christ. We know what the shepherd feels about us, how he cares for us, because the shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Christ's love for us is not conditional. He's not like the hired hand in your text today who runs at the first sight of danger, I'm not paid for this. He runs away, right? Christ sticks with it. His whole life revolves around your life. He wants to see you have eternal life. And for your sake, he endured the shame and suffering of the cross until he died. But because of the Father, he has the authority to raise up from the dead. He was raised from the dead, and he will raise you from the dead. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is king over all, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And that's the second coming. That's our expectation right now. He's coming back. But remember, he's also your shepherd, and we are the sheep. So that day of expectation is a day of hope. So many people focus on the judgments that happen at the end of time. But it's good news for the Christian. For the one who believes in Christ, it's a good day. It's a day of salvation. And that's what we focus on. He is our good shepherd. We are a sheep. And the shepherd still speaks his word today. Back in Bible times, and I suppose today too, shepherds could cross paths and their flocks could mingle. But as soon as the shepherd would call the sheep, they would all separate again. They all knew the voices of who was taking care of them. In this busy and hectic world we live in, right? A lot of voices, too many to count. We live in an age of information, too much information, too much things to sort through. Many of them are trying to play the shepherd in your life, saying, follow me, believe me, do what I do, right? People that do that for a living are actually called influencers, right? So it's important to know what they're up to. But know that you are not of this world. Your expectations of life have changed because Christ gives you the very best pasture, the best this world has to offer and more. Nothing else compares. So our job as Christians in this time of expectation, waiting for his return, we need to identify the voices we are hearing in life. And how are these voices changing what you expect from others, yourself, or from life itself? Are you being guided back to the source of eternal life in Christ, or are these voices dragging you away like the thief and the robber? Scripture says to flee from these voices. And I could give you 1,000 different examples of things to avoid, voices to stay away from. Millions, countless, right? There's as many voices out there as there are people. But the best way to flee from danger as the sheep is to run back to the good shepherd. So the best way to flee from bad voices in the world is to focus on the life-giving words of Christ. As soon as you can hear a million voices in your head, the word of Christ should blare out louder than all of them in terms of what he does for you. These are words that we cling to. And these words never changed, or never will change. Compared to Christ, the world's promises are revealed to be pretty empty at the end of the day. So of all people on earth, you have the expectation of peace through all of this, all this uncertainty many people face in their life. We have peace. We know it's all going to work out. Everything is going to work for the good for those who love him. Our peace is made certain by the good shepherd who gave his life for you. And a famous psalm, I think it was my confirmation verse, Psalm 23, David's psalm, the Lord is his shepherd. And I'm just going to close with this for tonight. And at the very end gives David's expectation, what he expects, what he has now, and what he's looking forward to. And I think we can relate, because we also believe in the same God as David. We have the same shepherd. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That expectation, dwelling with God, being with God, having peace with God, that peace is yours now and forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your life-giving word. There are many voices, Lord, in the world that try to get us to leave the sheepfold. But we know your voice. Help us to cling to your voice through all of our days that we may rest in the good pasture that you lead us to. You are the good shepherd. We know you're coming back. Bless us now during this time of Advent where we have this eager expectation of your return. And we are waiting, celebrating the birth of your son at Christmas time. So Lord, we ask your blessing upon the rest of this night. Guard our hearts. Help us to cling to you tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 12, Hark the Glad Sound.
Thank you.
gift of all, that is the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful that we are sheep, that we are defenseless. You have revealed that to us, that without you, we are nothing. But with you, we are led to good pasture. And we have this eager expectation for your return, and we know that will be that'll end in joy. So we are thankful for that. Bless the rest of this night. Bless all those here who have heard your life-giving words. Help them go home tonight in safety and knowing that you know their name. You know their names, and you know what is needed in their life, and that is you yourself, and you gave themself up for them. Lord, we also want to give you thanks for the community of believers here and all around this area that are confessing your name tonight. Bless them too. And now let us all together pray the prayer our Lord himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now turn to our closing hymn, hymn number 4. Rejoice, all you believers.
Yeah, we're going old school, so use your demos. It's not going to be on the board.
Okay, and then you want me to walk and shake hands on that?